basics in discipleship this morning, probably for the next couple of mornings on Sundays, not next week because we'll have our missionary with us and I'm really looking forward to that. But it's one of the things that the word itself is used quite often in Christian circles, and I'll put big air quotes around Christian circles. And one of the funny thing is a lot of times different denominations and different churches use different words, the same words, but they may not have the same meaning to them. When we talk about communion and redemption and things like that, depending on where you're attending, they have different definitions for that. And we wanted to look a little bit today into this, but I wanted to hit this morning a couple of basic points in regards to this, and it's a refresher course, and we'll get to a verse in a couple of minutes. Guys, as long as you am anywhere around where I am going to be talking about God, I am going to be putting us in remembrance of the importance of discipleship. Okay, the Bible says put them in remembrance, always put them in remembrance, put them in remembrance. It sounds like a broken record, but it's something that is very important. So before we go any further, I'd like to ask God to guide us and give us some understanding and remind us how important this is as part of our lives, all right? Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be here this morning. Lord, thank you for all the things that have accomplished already, for the praising and hearing teaching from your word and the opportunity I had this morning to be down and, Lord, be in the community for this morning. And Lord, remember so many who, out of love and bravery, have given their lives to protect our communities as firefighters, and Lord, it was a blessing. Lord, thank you for the things we can learn from your word. Help us, Lord, to continue to keep ourselves sharp when it comes to understanding what we're here to do, and Father, the importance of discipleship, and we looked last week on what it takes to be a disciple. There are some serious costs, and Lord, as we are leaving a legacy and Lord, stepping up and not only following those before us, but Lord, being one who others follow as well. So Father, help us and give us some clarity this morning. Be with my mind in Jesus' name. Amen. So sometimes one of the best ways to look at things is remind ourselves what it is not. So we're going to talk about first what discipleship isn't. Okay, just because sometimes this out there in the world and in different churches, there's some concepts that are out there. So first off, discipleship is not a new believer's class. Are you with me so far? Discipleship is not a new believer's class. It is not a follow-up program to salvation. Oftentimes, we've talked about it here in discipleship for quite a while in this church, that we think that, oh, somebody got saved. We need to sit them down and put them through a 16-week class on what it is to do now that you're a Christian. That is not what discipleship is, okay? Let me put this thought in the back of our mind while we are thinking of this. Jesus came and he discipled 12 men, okay? Is that what Jesus did when he discipled them? Did he sit down in a classroom setting and work them through 16 little lessons about how to be a good Christian? No, he did not. Okay, it's very important we understand this. It is not just a follow-up program. We don't say, oh, good, now that they're someone's asked Jesus to be their Savior, let's get them into this little class, and once they're all through it, they'll be all set for life. Okay, we know that that's not true. It is a lifelong commitment. So a question for you is, I want to hone our skills. I want to put a laser pointer right on this thing. Is being a parent a little commitment that's done after a certain amount of time? Or is it a lifelong commitment? It is a lifelong commitment. If we are going to be part of a legacy and we are going to understand the position that we have, it is a lifelong commitment. The moment you become a believer, you are now adopted into a family, and you have a family relationship, which is a lifelong commitment. Okay, it doesn't stop or go at some point. Now, the role that you might play in the commitment may be a little bit different now and then, but it's something that's going to last for your whole life. I like thinking of it this way. It is not a follow-up program. It is following followers. Okay, remember the Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ? And Peter, we're going to look at Peter in a few minutes, and he says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, as you follow me, get some faithful men who can follow you, and then those men will follow them. And it's following one another. Now, I think of it in my life as my father and I have a different relationship than we did when I was 12. But he's still an important part of my life. Okay, when I became a dad, yes, I was a mature adult. I was moved out of my parents' house. I did not need them to be wiping my nose and cooking my breakfast and cutting up my meat. Okay, I was a grown-up, but that didn't mean I still didn't look to them for an example on being a parent. I'm potentially, in a few years here, going to step into a grandparent role. I've never been a grandparent before. And there's a point in which, on both sides of our family, we have examples of, hey, what is it like to be a grandparent? So you utilize. Now, am I pounding down their door going, I'm so scared to be a grandparent? Like we did maybe when we were going to be. No. As you grow, things aren't the same, the relationship. But still, you learn. And Helen sometimes said, had another great grandbaby or something. And it's, oh, man, she's got a special, unique position in life. So do many of you who have seen it to grandchildren, to great-grandchildren. And your role in the family changes, doesn't it? And it's the same thing. It is not a follow-up program. Okay, you don't have a baby and go, oh, 18 years and I'm done with this kid. No longer am I ever going to see them and be involved in their lives, right? Oh, grew. I got them to maturity. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. See ya. Okay, it's something that you're going to be involved in the rest of your life in. And that is exactly what discipleship is. It is not a new beginner's class. It is something that you and I, when we take on, is going to stay with us the rest of the time that we are here on this earth. You with me so far? Because it's important to understand this. You plug in, and there's no unplugging if you're going to stay in God's will. It is not a Bible study. Some people think, oh, discipleship is just getting together and studying the Bible. Is that what parenting is? You just get out the information, and as long as you put that information into that person's head, you've been successful. Okay, absolutely not. It's a lot more than imparting knowledge. Okay, it is, that's a good thing. But it's based on a personal relationship. Now look at the Lord Jesus Christ and most of his discipling. Was it in the synagogue sitting around with the Bible open in his lap? No. Most of what he did was out in real life situations helping people, serving people, walking, exampling to the disciples. It was real life. Okay, we're going to talk about this a little bit more as we go. It is the ministry. Now, we talk about all the time about we have a ministry. This is our church ministry, and God wants us to be in the ministry. There is no ministry separated from discipling. Everything that you and I do should be geared to equipping one another to be a better servant for God. Everything. Yes, we are here to praise God, but tell you the truth, I was singing this morning, my throat was getting a little dry. I'll be a lot better praiser and worshiper of God the Father and Jesus and everything when I'm in heaven with my perfect body. Okay, I know I'm pretty close right now, the perfect body. But I see those looks back there. Yes, it was a joke. Okay. If our goal was to be the perfect praisers of God, where better to do that than in heaven? If our goal was to know the Bible and know God's plan better than anything, where better to know that than in heaven, where we'll know everything? You have to remember, the reason that you and I are here, remember what the mission of God is to restore lost man into the image of God when he lost through sin. That's why we're still here. Okay, that is our goal. It is not just to pass on biblical information. It is not a Christian life curriculum. Oh, I got some booklets here with information that you need to know about how to live a Christian life. You can't learn life through curriculum. Okay? I wrote this down because I was going to be confused to try to say it without writing it down. Our meaningful relationship with God shows them how to have a meaningful relationship with God by our meaningful relationship with them. Let me read it again. Our meaningful relationship with God shows them how to have a meaningful relationship with God by our meaningful relationship with them. You know how many times I've heard people say, I didn't have a dad to show me how to do this. Or my mom passed away when I was young, so I really didn't have a good, I don't know how to be a mom. Or my family relationship, I had a mom and dad, but neither of them really lived up to teaching me and showing me in life what it was really like to be a good mom, a good dad. Some of us have had to break that ice ourselves. Okay? How many of us have said, I really never had anybody disciple me? We're groundbreakers. We're having to start it because nobody did it to us. It shouldn't be that way. It's a lifelong relationship that is a family relationship. Okay? Listen, we could rewind the tapes from the last month or so. How successful would we be if we had a baby and then put it in the woods? So, yeah, grow yourself up. Here's a book. It doesn't work that way, does it? The best way to show somebody how to live a successful life is to show somebody your life. Okay? Very important. So that's what it is. It is in a follow-up program. It's not just Bible study. It is not putting knowledge in your head. It is how you and I put that knowledge to use in our lives. What it is this. It is life passing on life. Life passing on life, both salvation and discipleship. You say, listen, I've been born again. Can I show you how to have a new life? And then once you do, you say, okay, good. Now that you've been born again, let me show you how this life works. You with me so far? I mean, come on, think about us and raising our children. God did this so on purpose. It's not information. It's transformation. That's what God wants. It's not just putting knowledge into our brain. It is how we apply it every single day in our lives. What is one of the famous knee-jerk sort of tongue-in-cheek quotes we say all the time about parents? Do what I say, not what I do. And as much as we cringe when we hear that because we know how dumb that statement is, sometimes that's what we boil discipleship down to. I'm going to tell you things, but don't watch me. Do what I say, not what I do. Where the Bible clearly says, do. Okay? You do. You have to do it. It's an example. Jesus walked it. He didn't just say, how many religious organizations in this world, whether it's hiking up to the top of a mountain in Tibet or finding someplace else where you have a guru or a high priest or someone sitting in a temple somewhere dispensing wisdom. And the pilgrims, you know, through their trek come in and they kneel before him and he says some wise statement to guide their life and then they leave. And the entire time he just sits there waiting for somebody else to come to share some word of wisdom with them. That is not what our Savior did. Jesus Christ's discipleship ministry was, guys, walk with me. Here's what we're going to go do. I'm not going to just sit here in some sort of official religious house and tell you things and have you go do it. We're going to do it together. Okay, now what this... we need to be careful, because if we're not, what happens is we get a bunch of fat-headed Christian intellectuals that we learn a lot about the Bible and we know how to tell people what to do, but we don't know how to get up and do it. And I'm sorry if fat-headed sounds a little bold, but remember what the Bible says? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. You gotta be careful. Now, listen, we are in our church, and I love the fact that we're this. Go to 2 Peter while I'm talking. In our church, we love learning the Word of God. We love teaching the Word of God. It is essential. Okay, we know that this book is what God has given to us to survive in this world. Okay, He's given us His church, He's given us the Holy Spirit, and He's given us His Word. Through those three things, we are able to function. And so we love teaching it. We love looking at the truth. It is not our opinion. Okay, Dan, myself, anybody who's speaking the Word of God and teaching, we're always saying, look it up. Check it with the Bible. Okay, that is the key. That is where it is. But one of the problems is we can believe that knowledge is the answer to making ourselves what we need to be. And unfortunately, sometimes that can cause a lot of very legalistic, judgmental kind of people. Because here's the way it should be. I've got it written down right in front of me. And by golly, that's it. And Dan and I were just talking about this. He mentioned Sunday school last week. I didn't hear it this week because I wasn't here. But the more and more we grow in the Lord to realize there's not as many hard lines that we need to stand on with a big sledgehammer to pop people on top of the head with. Because discipleship is not about what you know. Discipleship is about how you live, how you apply what you've learned. 2 Peter, right? I said 2 Peter. Now here's where I want to set this up. 2 Peter, Peter's getting into this. And go to verse 12 to start. Peter says, therefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in this in the present truth. Now, I love that. Pastor, we're talking about discipleship again. Yeah. You know, and Peter said the same thing. Listen, I'm not going to be negligent. I'm not going to be at fault, even though what I'm going to tell you, you already know, and it may be established in you. We got to keep this thing fresh in our minds of what exactly we're doing. Okay, keep going. Yea, I think it meet that as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir up, or to stir you up, by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put out off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Okay, Peter says, listen, I'm going to hammer this thing until the day that I am gone. Okay, I got to keep doing this, got to put this in remembrance, okay? So, guys, put that in your mind. Now, think for a minute as being parents. How many times have we told our children or asked them, did you brush your teeth? Come on, I hope you have your kids brush your teeth. Okay, I know we live in a small kind of country town, but we want to keep all our teeth. How many times? Did you brush your teeth? Did you brush your teeth? Did you make your bed? Did you make your bed? Do your homework? Did you do your homework? Now, don't you think if we were in a place where it was all about knowledge, that we just say, it's important for you to do your homework, period. Write that on the wall, and we don't have to talk about it again, do we? No, we go over it, and 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 over it, until what? Till it's something that you're doing every single day. This is what Peter's saying here. He said, man, you guys know this. It might actually be established, but you know what? I'm not going to stop telling you because it's something that is that important that we're in it, doing it every single day. Look at, he gives us some benefits if we do these things, okay? So let's look at verse 8. With me, so jump back to verse 8 for a minute. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us some positive things. He says, man, if you do these things, if you put these in your life, number one, you will never be lazy or fruitless when it comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's important. Guys who have ever taught somebody, am I wrong when I say when you start teaching it, you actually learn it better when you teach it? Okay, it's just one of those things. When you have to break it down and actually show somebody what you're doing, okay, somebody, I love making chili, you guys know that, and I never use a recipe. Never. Okay, I just had it in my mind. I know what it looks like, I know what it tastes like, I know what it smells like. I can tell from across the room if I got the right mix. Okay, until somebody said, ooh, what's your recipe? And I went, yeah, I don't know what my recipe is. So I had to sit there as I was doing it and actually keep track of all the parts and pieces that I was putting in there. You know, so much ground beef, so much onion, so much this, so much that. And I'm like, wow, I never realized all the different things that I was doing with this here. You know, it just happened naturally. It's something mom showed me how to do. She didn't use a recipe. We just knew exactly what it was like. And actually start breaking it down so I can show somebody else how it's done made me go, okay, you know, in my mind I'm thinking, oh, it's quick, it's easy, it's just a couple of things, boom, 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 and then I make the whole list and the recipe, and it's both sides of a, you know, of one of those recipe cards. I'm like, wow, there's a lot more here than I thought. Because when you teach it, you learn it, okay? He says, you'll never be barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He also said, if you put these things in your life, you'll never fall. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe God's word. You want you like messing up and having a hardship and having tough times in your life, but they're your fault. You blew it. You stumbled and fell smack down on your face. Well, God says, listen, if you put this as a priority in your life, that's not going to happen. Okay, case in point. If you drive the speed limit, will you ever get a speeding ticket? Okay, let me say that again. If you drive the speed limit, will you ever get a speeding ticket? No. Okay? You can't get a speeding ticket if you're not going faster than the speed limit. Well, that's true. That's true. You might there might be time for a quota. Yeah, with the world, the law enforcement, it's tough sometimes. I was going to say, will you ever get arrested for something you didn't do? But that's a kind of tough one, too. But what God is saying, you know what? If you stay with the things he's asked you to do and stick with the plan, it'll keep you out of trouble.
If you go over, you'll get a ticket.
That's right. That's right. It's that one moment that you say, you know, it's a beautiful sunny day. Open the windows and, whoa, just be cruising. And just like, yeah, I haven't seen a police officer on the road in 6 years. All of a sudden, woo, there he is behind me. The one day I decide. That didn't happen. My wife gets tickets more than me. Oh, did I say that? Ooh. All right, I'm sleeping in the doghouse. Okay. But notice this last thing. If you do these things, now, I love this idea. Your entrance to the kingdom of God will be abundant. Did you see that? We're not just going to heaven. When we get there, it will be amazing if we would put these things. You see, look at it, what it says in verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. I don't know what that means. Does that mean all of a sudden there's going to be a ticker tape parade when I get there? Because it says your entrance into the kingdom of God, your entrance shall be ministered abundantly. Yo, Fisher's here. Yeah, I don't know. But that's what it says. But notice it says something else. Verse 9. If you don't do this, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and is forgotten, he is purged from his old sins. Now again, I want this to be understood. God is not stuttering. When you see these things in God's word, don't think he's just, you know, re-emphasizing a point. If you're blind, in the way we understand blindness, you can't see far off, right? That makes pretty well sense by itself. So you've got to look at this and say, okay, God's not saying you're blind and you're blind. Okay, first of all, this word blind means you're like in a cloud of smoke. Have you ever been in a cloud of smoke where you're just trying to look around right in front of your face and you can't even see? Okay, the root word to this means proud. You're so full of everything else in your mind's eye that you can't even see the common things right in front of you. But notice, I want you to understand, seeing something as afar off is not necessarily talking about what's a mile away. He's talking about what's in the future. Now listen to what he had just said. If we do these things, we have a glorious entrance into heaven. It's abundant. If we don't do these things, we've lost the vision of what's ahead for us. This world's not my home. Lay up your treasures in heaven. Sometimes if we're not doing these things, we forget even that we've been purged from our sins. We lose focus on the reason that you and I are here. So, he says, listen, these are the things you need to do. I hope you do these things, because if you don't do these things, so what are these things? We've been talking about doing these things, so have we talked about what they are yet? Okay, verse 1 through 4, we're talking about getting saved. We're talking about putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, it says we have precious faith, we have precious promises, and we are, guys, remember what the mission is? We are partakers of the divine nature. When you and I ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior by faith and put our trust in him, some amazing thing happens. So let's just read these couple of verses together. Let Peter brag on what God has done. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. First thing, Peter says, thank God for salvation. Don't forget, we are of like faith, precious faith. He has made us, given us exceedingly great and pressing promises. He's delivered us from sins and the lusts of the flesh, and given us the divine nature. We're partakers of that. If that's what we've been talking about, what God's mission is the entire time for the last couple of months. His mission is to restore lost man to the divine nature that he lost because of sin. Okay, that's the first of these things. If you want to be a partaker of these things, first thing you got to do is trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you do not, these things are not what you are going to be a partaker of. You with me so far? But the second thing has to do with discipleship. And this is where I want to get on this a little bit. We're starting in verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And beside this, when you get around to it, you might want to try this. Is that what it says? It says, and beside this, giving all diligence. How much diligence? All. That means you are trying awful hard. You are working every time you can to make this thing happen in your life. Give all diligence to what? And add to your faith. Now stop right there. We're about to read a list. And this is a slightly different list. We look at the fruit of the Spirit, right? And the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit, not fruits, of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, patience, meekness, long-suffering. I don't have them all. But it's a list. It says, you know, I want to see all these things in your life. That is the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit, and it has nine different aspects to it, right? That is not what this verse says. These verses in this passage says, add to this, this, and then add to this, this, and then add to this. This is a progression. Okay, and you'll see it very clearly. Now, much as I love church, and this is what happens, and I'm a stickler for this, but we have to remind ourselves what the focus of discipleship is. It says, add to your faith knowledge. Because you know what? As soon as you get saved, the first thing you need to do is learn as much about God's word as you possibly can. Is that what it says in the verses? I know you're being real good to me and listening. Add to your faith knowledge. Knowledge is not the first thing on the list, is it? And there's the key. Now, please, if we're not careful, it becomes a new believers class. It becomes a follow-up program or a curriculum on how to live a Christian life, that all of a sudden we jump from faith to knowledge. And we're pumping our brain full of facts and figures about God's word. That is not what Peter says. He says, listen, if these things are in you, you're going to be, oh man, all the blessings. And if they're not, be careful, because you're blind. You're not going to be able to see what's the blessings in the future. He says, first thing I want you to add, once you have faith, once you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, which we just talked about in verse 1 through 4, okay, precious promises, precious faith, you know, all that. Once you have that, add to that virtue. That's the first thing you and I need to add, is virtue. Now, that's a word we don't use very often. And we can have some interesting definitions of it. You know what it means basically in the Bible? It basically means grow up and be a man. Sorry, ladies. Not leaving you out, but this is the way that the word is defined. It means get some backbone and grow up. It means do what you're supposed to be doing. You know, I watched this thing last night on the news about this gentleman who was 30 years old who had to have a court order against him to move out of his parents' basement because, you know, he was just freeloading. He wasn't growing up. He was doing everything possible to just, you know, tread water in mommy and daddy's basement. And I don't know why it got all the way to the point of going to court, but that's where it was. And listening to the guy, they did a little interview, and I've heard 12-year-olds with a little bit more goals in life than this fella had. You know, and they said, you know, well, did you attend college anywhere? And he says, well, for a short time I was in college. I dropped out. And, you got a job? No, I don't have a job. You know, in all points, he hadn't grown up yet. He was just sponging off the system. Well, that's not what this word means. This word means stand up, grow up. Give you a better idea. The Apostle Paul uses this word. We looked at it last week. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we'll read a verse we had hit up last week, but it's an amazing way that Paul ties this together to remind us exactly what this context, what we're talking about. Philippians 4:8, and remember we were talking about listing about where you should focus your mind. And he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, all those things that he's reminding us to think on. Look what it says. If there be any virtue, that's what we're talking about, okay, if there be any praise, accolades, think on these things, and look at verse 9 as he's following in this same thought. And those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, a little two-letter word, what is it? Do. I wasn't sure exactly what title to put, because Dan and I put we fill out the slip back there so we can record it on sermon audio correctly. And I didn't have a title for this morning's sermon. And then I finally titled it. And I titled it, Just Do It. Apostle Paul says, listen, you know, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, if you want to understand this, the things you have learned from me, do them. The things you have heard from me, do them. The things you have received from me, do them. The things you have seen, what's the last one? I missed it. Learned, heard, seen, and received. Now, I don't know about you. If we're not careful, information is, oh, good. I gave you all the information you need. My job is done. Okay? Hi, Junior. Every morning and every night, you should brush your teeth. My job is done. I've given him the information he needs. No, I guarantee you, you're probably going to have to give little Junior that information about 1,000 times. Right? Until we see the behaviors that we're looking for passed down through life, through life, through life. And you know when it really hurts? Well, Daddy, how come you don't brush your teeth every morning and every night? Or you need to make your bed. And they walk by Mom and Daddy's bedroom every morning. Says, Mom and Daddy, you don't make your bed. Do what I say. Well, Paul is saying here, guys, listen, you know how important it is that when you hear what you're being told, when you've seen it in me, do it. If you've heard it from me, do it. If you've received it from me, if you've learned it, the important part is doing it. That is what the virtue is. Grow up. So, one other verse I want to flip to, and we'll go back real quick to 2 Peter. Go to Matthew chapter 28. The missions anthem. These verses are titled The Great Commission. Probably every one of us could say them in some form backwards because we've heard them so many times. We've been in church. But there's something interesting I wanted you to see here. Now, so remember what we're saying. If you put these things in your life, you will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of God. You'll have an abundant entry to God. You will not fall. If you don't, you're missing out. You're missing the big picture. You have got to add to faith first application, not knowledge. It's not about learning what, it's learning how. And you only do that through real life, okay, which is discipleship. Now, here we go. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20, we know this. Look at verse 20. So 19 says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded thee. Now, we love that, right? Now, I purposefully read it wrong. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible for you or for me to teach somebody all things that Jesus commanded them? No, it's impossible. There is no way that you and I could possibly teach everything that Jesus taught. That's not what he says, though, is it? What does he say? Teaching them to observe all things. laws that I've commanded you. What does that mean? It means when you learn it, do it. Okay? You ever hear somebody say, well, we're going to observe a moment of silence? That means you're going to do that. I have tried my best. I don't know if it always has sunk in, but I've tried my best to teach my children to obey the laws of the land. So in doing so, I sat down and told them every law of the land. That's what you did, right? It's impossible. You see the things that go across the Congress's desk like every day, are like, you know, 2,200 pages. Okay, every other day it's changing the law of the land. There would be no way possible that you and I could sit down and explain to anybody what every single law is. Right? It would be an impossibility. That's not the issue. The issue is, hey, there are laws. Observe the law. If you're in Tennessee, if you're in Texas, all right, I'll go to something I like. If you're in New Hampshire, you don't got to wear a seatbelt. Okay, we live in the live free or die in a car accident state. We don't have to wear a seatbelt. Other states you do. If you drive and you decide you want to head up Route 91 or down Route 91, by the time you get over and cross the Connecticut River, when you get on the other side of that bridge, you better put your seatbelt on. Because the law of the state of Vermont and the law of the state of Massachusetts is you have to wear a seatbelt or you can get a ticket. Right. And that's a good habit to get into. We don't have to here. But you know what? To observe the law of the land, I know that if I drive out of this state, where pick a state around us, when you cross the border, you got to put a seatbelt on. Now, does that mean I need to absolutely familiarize myself with every single law and know them like this? If we're not careful, that's what we do to Christianity. And we think Christianity is filling our brain with as much about God's word as we possibly can just so we'll know it. But you know what? There are days that we head up 91 to get to my in-laws. And I'll be driving, you know, it's about almost a full hour on 91 before we get to the exit up there. And Kim will look over. She'll nudge me. And we've been on 91 for about 40 minutes, and I go, click, because I forgot to buckle my seatbelt. Now, if the policeman pulled me over, I thought, oh, sorry, sir, I live in New Hampshire, and I just didn't think about it. Sorry. What's the phrase? Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. But here's the key. He says, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. You and I are going to be in different parts of our lives, different struggles in our lives, and we're going to have different challenges in our lives. And there are some things that I can't tell you how to deal with. I personally have never had cancer. Yet. Okay, still could be there, could be coming. Some of you have, and you know exactly how to deal with it because God's brought you through that. Some of you may have a struggle in some areas. You know, maybe it's foul language. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's something else. Okay, personally, some of those things I know I've told you before, I have never once, ever, and I'm thankful to the Lord for this, struggled with alcohol. Most of the time, the alcohol that I've ever had near me, I can't stand it. Beer, dirty dishwater, I think, tastes better. It's just gross. That's never been my... That doesn't mean I'm perfect. I've got my own issues, and you don't want them. But that's one. You know, so if somebody says, yeah, Pastor, you don't understand. You know, I have a friend of mine at the Cheshireman who just rejoiced. I think he's 24 years sober. He's got the pin, everything. You know, he's so excited about it. You know, and I could be thankful for that, but I don't know what that's like. I don't have to. I just know I need to observe whatsoever God's commanded me.
I taught my son to wear a seatbelt when he was
Well, that's good. I'll tell you, don't get me going on that. You can get 12-year-old kids having them sit in a booster seat now because they don't have they're not the certain weight limit now. I think it's like 68 pounds. Okay, sometimes you have a kindergartner who's 68 pounds. Sometimes you can have an eighth grader who isn't even 68 pounds yet. You know, sometimes the laws are a little silly, but we need to observe the things. So here's the key, and this is why this is important, and this is why this is basics. If you and I are going to take God's word and share it with each other like we're supposed to, and all we're doing is giving ourselves information about the Bible, then we're failing. What you and I need to be doing is giving ourselves information about the Bible and making sure that we are changing because of what we learn. If I keep telling my little children to brush their teeth and they're not brushing their teeth, I can't possibly feel successful, can I? Not in that. There might be other things, but I come in and make your bed. You know, they're different. My different children of my three have had different struggles. Okay, one of the struggles that one of my children had was food. Okay, I have two children that would just about eat anything. I mean, it just, I'm preparing wet food for the dog and the plate disappears. It's like, where'd that go? You know, one of my children, the meal that they would eat almost every single meal or ask for or cry and have a fit because they couldn't have was peanut butter and jelly. I would bring a pepperoni pizza home. I'm thinking, this is the best. I'm bringing a pizza. Woo! I don't want pizza. I want pepper and jelly. Listen, we give ourselves this kind of understanding when it comes to our real family, but this is the exact picture that God put in us for our spiritual family. That's right. We need to see ourselves putting to practice the things that we are understanding. If you have our 16 lessons for discipleship, and Bruce and I, when we discipled, you know, I'd look at him after we studied the baptism lesson and say, Bruce, are you ready to teach this to somebody else? Do you understand this? It's something that you can put to use. It's not just, okay, I got it. If we don't start seeing certain things, that we teach discipleship lessons about church membership. You know, and after you teach a discipleship lesson on church membership, and the person says, well, I'm not interested in joining the church, then you have to say, well, then maybe we're not ready to continue doing discipleship. You teach a lesson on baptism, that it's the first step of obedience and that what God wants. And the person says, I don't think I want to be baptized. Well, if you're not going to see somebody applying the truth that they've learned, then all you're doing is putting information into somebody's head. Guys, for a couple years now, we've had on the back door, leave changed. I hope that's what you come to do every Sunday. That you come here to learn something that can be different in your life. Now, please, don't beat yourself up. I know human beings, the first thing is, oh, yeah, well, I come here every day to get find out some terrible thing about myself. No. Sometimes you leave changed to realize, I could praise him more. I could be more that. You know, it's not a bad thing. Sometimes it's great. It doesn't mean it's awful. But if you and I aren't applying what we're doing, then we are not being disciples. We looked last week and it takes a cost. You got to put everything aside and give it to God. And now I say, add to your faith virtue. Then virtue, knowledge. Then knowledge, temperance. Then temperance, patience. Then patience. There's an amazing structure here that you can see finishing it out. We need to get past knowledge and move on to self-control, then cheerful endurance, then well-reverence, then loving the brethren, then agape love. It's a progress. And Peter says, if you're not going to understand these things and do them, you're not understanding the big picture. But if you do them, you're not going to fall. You're going to have an abundant entrance into God's heaven. So, my encouragement to you is find somebody and disciple them. okay, Pastor, give me the lessons. You don't need the lessons. Now, they're great because they have a good order, because God does things decently in an order, but it is life transferring life. Yeah. So are you ready to do that? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Go into all the world, make disciples. After that, show them how to walk the newness of life. That's what baptism is all about. Baptize them, raise to walk in newness of life, and then teach them to observe the things that they have learned. Well, I don't know how to do that. Well, come to my house. I'll show you. There you go. Because I'll tell you what, it is so easy to put on the churchy face. Isn't it? We get here, and for a couple hours on a Sunday morning, we put on the nice, you know, churchy face. But then the rest of the 6 days of the week, we're struggling, we're in stuff we shouldn't be doing, or just the opposite. We're living our lives in an amazing thing. I've told my wife, I've told many people, one of the things I would love to have happen, I don't know if it'll happen, I won't care, I'm dead. When I pass away, I would love to see three words somewhere on my tombstone. The rest of them's fine, but say, he was real. I want to be, this is what you see here is what you see everywhere. Because I would rather people say, he did his best, and he was trying, he stumbled, he made an idiot of himself quite often. But that's how life is. None of us are perfect. We just put one foot in front of the other and try to do it better than we did it yesterday. Guys, the best way to do that is to get in each other's lives. It's not a Bible study. It's not a follow-up program. It is me saying, you know what? I've got three children, and I hope through their living with me through my home, they're going to learn what it is to grow up and be a responsible person. And then as they move out and have their own kids, I hope they can call up and say, Mom, the baby won't ever go to sleep. Okay? Mom, he never changes one diaper. We laugh about it, but isn't that what you want? Don't we want our children and the people that love us say, listen, if you've got a question about that, just call me. I'll gladly help out in whatever way I can. Guys, that's the relationship we need to have with each other in Christ. I led somebody to the Lord. See ya. Be warmed and filled. No, I want that person to, I'll be at your beck and call. Anytime, any place you need me, I will be there. Because it's not about information, it is about transformation. It's not about knowledge, it's about applying what we've learned to real life. That's when we know discipleship is working. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, we say that a lot, and without it, we would be absolutely lost. But Father, if we treat this book like an encyclopedia, that all it's there is to help us look things up when we got a trivia contest or we're trying to put our next memory verse together, Lord, we're missing out. Father, the things that we've learned and heard, received and seen, Lord, we need to be putting them into our lives. We need to be changing. We need to be transforming ourselves, putting off that old man in the lusts and walking in that new life that you've given to us. And Father, that doesn't happen just by osmosis. It comes because we have watched other Christians live their lives and we can see how to do it. It is our close relationship with God, showing them that they can have a close relationship with God through the close relationship we can have with them. Lord, I just pray and help us to remember that none of this thing that we do is about information. It's about a relationship. We have an amazing relationship with you, and we have an amazing relationship with each other. So, Father, thank you. Bless this time we can spend having the Lord's Supper with you. In Jesus' name, amen.